This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day and a beautiful day to be together in this time of worship. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or over live stream, we trust and believe that the Spirit of Christ unites us in our worship together, and I'm so glad to be with you. We would like for you to let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link you can click on to register your attendance. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you'll sign those and pass them down the row, and notice the names of others sitting on the row with you, and if there's a name you don't recognize, then there's an opportunity to make a new friend this morning. And we hope you will do that. If you have been visiting with us for a little while and perhaps thinking about becoming a member of this faith community in a more official way, we have one more new member class that we'll be offering before the summer, and it will be on the four Wednesday nights of April. It will be over Zoom from 6 to 7, and if you'd like to register for that, you can go on to the website, westendumc.org/membership, and sign up for that class. A few other announcements as we gather. This afternoon at 5 p.m., we have our monthly service of Teze worship. This month's service will be upstairs in the fourth-story theater where we will have the labyrinth set up, and that will move us into a time of contemplation and prayer together. So that's at 5 o'clock today. Next Sunday at 4:30, our adult choirs will join together with an orchestra to present our Lenten concert. And we hope that you will join us in person or online to celebrate and move through the season of Lent through the power of music. We have an opportunity to worship through music every Thursday during Lent at noon. We have our Lenten concerts, and the details about this Thursday's concert are in your bulletin. There is always lunch that follows, and if you'd like to participate in lunch afterwards, if you're doing that in person, you can sign up also online. I think those are our announcements for today, and now it's my privilege to welcome Julia Sutherland to share a ministry moment with us about the villages at Glencliff.
Hi, good morning. I'm so happy to be invited here today. My family has a long history with this church, and I'm very glad for the reconnection. My name is Julia Sutherland, and I am the executive director of the Village at Glencliff, a new community that provides people experiencing homelessness a dignified and caring place to recover after hospitalization. We offer Nashvillians a unique form of medical respite. Our founder, Reverend Ingrid McIntyre, who is now pastor at Glencliff United Methodist, which is your mission church, I believe, and whose campus is our home, had a vision of bridge housing layered with supportive services that lead to permanent housing. Many medical respites end after a certain number of days. At the village, each resident lives in one of 10 of our 200 square foot homes, and we also have two larger 400 square foot homes that accommodate two people. They have access to healthcare through neighborhood health and through their discharging hospital, healthy food from the Nashville Food Project, and a commitment to guide them through into permanent housing. Critically, we offer a safe space where they can begin to heal from the physical, emotional, and spiritual trauma of living on the streets. We are your inaugural 2022 Missions and Outreach Spotlight Grant recipient. So thank you so much for this very generous grant that we will be receiving over the next 3 years. Some of you have already been on campus and met us and some of our residents as you delivered furniture for our first graduate who is moving into his first apartment. West End United Methodist stands out as one of our key partners, as you have not only provided financially, but you have been very generous with your other resources. Your staff have supported our staff as we create processes in our first year and in my first 2 months. We've come a long way, thanks to people like you who understand the importance of health equity, that as a community, we are only as resilient as our most vulnerable. Health equity, housing equity, is a conscious choice. We broke ground back in 2017 with many influential supporters present, including then Vice Mayor David Briley, who memorably asked for forgiveness as an elected official, saying eloquently, "Our culture, our community, our country has lost its way to a certain degree. We have designed a place, accepted a place, where there is too much violence, poverty, and where people do not have housing. We designed it. Politics is the art of the possible. We need to be reminded of our North Star." He didn't quote from Deuteronomy 15, but I felt that it was very much implied. Reverend McIntyre, through her vision, and Glencliff United Methodist, through their gift of land, provided a kind of North Star for us. We welcomed our first resident in October, and since then we have been amazed to watch our first group of residents filter in, get used to living in a home and the responsibilities that come with that, and become stronger and healthier. Some now work with us on our campus, and others are starting to look for work off campus. We are currently raising money to renovate the kitchen we share with Glencliff United Methodist into a commercial kitchen that will serve both organizations through various ministries. So any funds that you donate toward that are like two for the price of one for Methodist. For those of you who have not and wish to, I encourage you to come and visit and tour. And if you have any questions, I will be outside these doors headed toward Reed Hall after the service. Our residents couldn't be here, but they asked that I send their sincere thanks. And thank you again for being open-handed and so freely lending to us to help us disrupt broken systems and transform individual lives. God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Julia. And as our spotlight ministry for this year, please be on the lookout for opportunities for you to serve and to give of yourself to help support this really vital ministry in our community. As we continue through the journey of Lent, we gather together in worship with hearts heavy with the news of the world around us. We gather all of that with us as we come together in the presence of God and consider our third vow of baptism. We've been making our way through the baptismal vows through this season of Lent, and this third Sunday brings us to the question, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him? So let us enter into this time of worship with that question in our hearts.
Thank you. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus calls us into relationship.
Let us put our whole trust in his grace.
Our response to Christ is to serve him as Lord.
Let us confess. Let us trust. Let us serve. Let us worship.
God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Trusting in this promise, in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. God who sees us, we confess that we often fail to acknowledge your presence in our lives. We would rather run and hide than go public with our faith. We seek comfort and assurance in things that do not last, forgetting all the while that your love is unconditional and your grace is steadfast. We cling tightly to our possessions instead of placing them in your service. Forgive us, loving God. Help us to welcome you into our homes and our hearts. Teach us to share boldly all that you have done for us. Gently open your hands that we may share with others and receive the blessings of serving you as Lord. And now, oh God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation, whether in person or watching virtually. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Mike and Kelsey Malloy bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Mike and Kelsey, I ask you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith that we've been studying more in depth lately during this season of Lent. And as you answer these questions, we too answer them alongside of you. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. And what name have you given your son?
Clay Douglas Malloy.
Clay Douglas Malloy. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father, your Creator, Christ the Son, your Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, your sustainer and advocate. Amen. And now we're all going to place a hand on Clay Douglas and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. Clay Douglas, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. I think that was a yeah. You're on it. Well, now we're going to move just a little bit closer to the center here so that everybody in the sanctuary and all those who are worshiping online can get a little closer look at you, Clay Douglas, and make our promises to help you grow in the faith.
Will the congregation please stand and face Clay Douglas? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Clay Douglas to your love and care. Do in all your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Clay Douglas, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. We give you your shirt.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. God, through Christ, you give us the water of life. Make us thirsty for your word, that we may give witness to your great love poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Del Evangelio de San Lucas, escuchen la lectura. Jesús entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Thank you.
I'll invite all the grown-ups to go ahead and be seated, and any children who want to come forward to spend just a moment up here with me. If you're worshiping from home, you just move a little closer to your screen. We'll wave at you. Come on down. It's so good to see you this morning. Makes me so happy. Come on up, CJ. Penelope, good to see you. Good morning. Come on up. One of the things that we talk about in church, and if you've been to Sunday school yet, maybe you've talked about it in Sunday school, is prayer and how we pray. And there are all sorts of different ways to pray. Sometimes we sit at the table before we eat a meal, and maybe we fold our hands and thank God for the food. Sometimes I like to pray while walking. And I kind of walk and I talk to God. Sometimes we pray by just sitting quietly and listening and thinking about God's love. One way I want to talk about prayer today is to imagine that Jesus is your friend just sitting next to you. And you can just talk to Jesus about anything and know that he will listen and love you no matter what. We just heard a story about Zacchaeus. Maybe you've heard of Zacchaeus. Maybe you've sung the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. You ever heard that song? Yeah, that's a pretty famous church song. But Zacchaeus didn't have a lot of friends, and he wasn't always a nice person. But you know what? Jesus went up to him anyway and became his friend. And that friendship changed Zacchaeus forever. And that just reminds me that Jesus loves us no matter what. And he's always there to listen and to be with us whenever we need him. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you that you're always with us and we can always talk to you no matter where we are or what we're doing. You're always ready to listen and love us. Help us to listen to you and love you too. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. Yay, good. And if you're older than that, you can go sit back with parents or friends. Whoopsie, which way are you going? There's your mama. It feels to me that my children were just that size yesterday. But as some of you know, we just got back from a trip touring colleges with our second born. So time has flown by. One afternoon while we were walking through a student center at one of the colleges, it's all a blur now, I can't even remember which one, I was thinking ahead a little bit about this sermon and thinking about this third baptismal vow. This is welcome to my world here. And a memory popped into my mind. I remember being a student in college and walking through the student union one day, my first year of college, and two students came up to me. I didn't know them. They were strangers to me. And they said, do you have a second? Can we ask you a question? And I was like, sure. And one of them said, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And for a minute, I was rendered speechless. I mean, I was born into the church. I was baptized as an infant, just like Clay Douglas. I was at the age of 8 or 9 at my family camp meeting. I walked down the center aisle and knelt at the altar rails and told God that I wanted to follow Jesus. I was confirmed in the church later and grew up always feeling like God was with me and that I could pray and that I was loved and I was supposed to love other people. But for some reason, this question just put me back on my heels a little bit. I think what I said was, yes, I'm Methodist. And then they walked away. I think the question came from a place of love, and they wanted me to know Jesus and invite me into a life of following Jesus. But my experience of the question was not positive. I felt judged. I felt that they didn't really know me. and didn't really want to know my story. I felt like there was a box of what Christianity was that they wanted to put me in, and if I didn't fit into it, then I don't know if you've had that experience before. If you've had people come up to you, strangers approach you with that question, or if you've been part of a community that asks that question a lot. It struck me then, though, as that memory emerged, that this third vow of baptism sounds an awful lot like that question. It's a question that we ask to parents. It's a question that we ask in a community of faith where we are not strangers to one another. We're all on a journey of faith together. And yet the question says, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord. So what do we mean when we say yes to that question? What does it mean to you and to me to say, Jesus Christ is my Savior? What does Jesus save us from, and what does He save us for? It might help to think that this word save, as we find it in the story of Zacchaeus and all throughout the New Testament, can be translated in a lot of different ways. It can mean to liberate, to heal, to make whole, to rescue. So it's not just about getting my doctrine right so I can go to heaven. It's about being made whole and complete, being liberated in some way. Maybe it might help us to think more about this question and what it means to us if we explore this story of Zacchaeus. Because at the end of the story, after Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, Jesus declares, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus has been saved by Jesus in this encounter. What is Zacchaeus saved from? And what is he saved for? And how is Jesus the instrument of that salvation? So let's dive into the story. There's not a lot we know about Zacchaeus, except he was short of stature. I'm never sure why that detail's in there. I guess to explain why he climbs a tree. But we also know that he is a chief tax collector, and he is rich. And that tells us a lot. If you know much about the history of Judea in the first century, the Roman Empire controlled it. The Jewish people lived under the oppressive thumb of Rome during Jesus' lifetime. If someone was a tax collector, this was someone who was Jewish, who chose to collaborate with the Roman government in the oppression of his own people. So the government required a certain amount of taxes. The tax collectors would go to the people to collect those taxes, and then they could charge as much above and beyond that as they wanted to line their own pockets. And so, for Zacchaeus to be a tax collector was one thing, but here he is a chief tax collector. That means he profits from the profits of the oppression of his people. He is deeply involved in a system of oppression, and he's profiting from it. And so we can infer from that he was not a popular guy in Jericho. I imagine he did not have many friends. Even other tax collectors were probably a little scared of him because he was the chief tax collector. As a result, maybe Zacchaeus, this is speculation now, but maybe Zacchaeus found his sense of worth in his money and in his power. Maybe he clung to that to give him purpose. It may be, too, that Zacchaeus was a little lonely because for some reason he wants to see Jesus. As Jesus is passing through Jericho, Zacchaeus goes to the trouble of climbing a tree just to get a glimpse at him. Maybe he'd heard the rumors. Jesus is sometimes referred to in the scriptures as a friend to tax collectors. So maybe Zacchaeus wanted to see somebody who might look upon him with something besides disgust and disdain. So he climbs a tree just to look, doesn't want to engage, just wants to see. And lo and behold, as he's looking from the tree, he hears a voice coming from right there. And there stands Jesus at the base of the tree, looking up and saying, "Zacchaeus," calling him by name. How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Maybe because the other people in the village had been like, "Oh, Zacchaeus." Maybe Jesus just knew who he was. He knew that he was the chief tax collector. He knew everything he had done. He knew his exclusion. He knew his sins. He knew his greed. He knew his power hungriness. He knew all of it. And yet he came to the base of that tree and called his name, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Of all the people in Jericho, Jesus wants to spend time in the home of Zacchaeus. Now that word, "I want to stay, I must stay in your house today," is the same word as dwell or abide. Jesus is inviting himself to abide the very hearth and heart of Zacchaeus' life. And for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, Zacchaeus is seen for who he is. In fact, Jesus announces it to the crowds at the end. He too is a child of Abraham. He is Zacchaeus, child of God. And now Zacchaeus has an opportunity to let go of his possessions, to let go of his power, to let go of his loneliness, to let go of all of those things that are trying to tell him who he is, and simply be in a relationship with Jesus, a child of God. And so he hurries down the tree and is happy to welcome Jesus. He welcomes Jesus into his life, and it transforms him forever. He says, "Look, Lord," he calls him Lord, "I will give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've defrauded anybody of anything, I'll pay it back fourfold," which is far beyond the law, what the law would have required. Zacchaeus is liberated from this oppressive system that he'd been complicit in. He sees things in a new way. He's let go of his tight grip on his possessions. He's not afraid to look vulnerable in front of the crowds. He's totally changed. You might say he's been saved. He's been healed. He's been restored to the community. He's been liberated from the oppressive system and has been saved for a life of generosity and abundance, a life grounded in his relationship with the living God through Jesus. So how are we saved? How do we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior? Maybe it will help to imagine ourselves up in that tree. Not sure we want to engage all the way, just looking. And then here comes Jesus and calls you by name, calls me by name, and doesn't see you or me with all the labels that we carry in the world, all the other things that people have told us we are or that we try to tell ourselves we are. We just hear our name. And he says, "I want to abide with you." And we have an opportunity to welcome him and abide in that relationship and allow it to transform how we live and move in this world. John Wesley taught that salvation was not just a one-time thing, it's a journey of a lifetime. So many of you have been part of the church, baptized as a baby, grown up going to Sunday school, you've given your life to following Jesus, and there's ever again an invitation to be liberated and healed and set free, to continue nurturing this loving, living relationship with God through Christ. Because we all know there is so much work to be done in our world. There is so much hurt and suffering with all that's happening in Ukraine and right here in Nashville, and we want to go about that work of fighting injustice and oppression and renouncing the spiritual forces of wickedness as we've talked about in our other baptismal vows, and that's our calling. But we cannot do that without the vital engine of the relationship with Christ continuing to empower us and nurture us and remind us of who we are and whose we are. And so I invite you in the next few moments as Matt plays some contemplative music for us to ask yourself this question once again. Do I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior? Do I allow Him to save me again and again every day? Do I put my whole trust in His grace and nothing else? And do I promise to serve Him as my Lord and nothing else? Amen.
I invite you to rise in body and spirit and join with me on page 883 in affirming our faith using a statement of faith from the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to this time of prayer today, be assured that God hears what's on each of our hearts, whether we can share it or not. If you would like to share your prayer requests and concerns with our pastoral team so that we can pray for you throughout the week, you can write them on one of the gray cards found in the pew rack in front of you, and then you can put them in the offering box in the narthex. If you're online, you're invited to go to the link on our website under Contact Us so that we may also be in prayer for you. This morning, our sympathies are with Bill Miller and his family, who are mourning the death of his sister-in-law, Helen Miller, who passed away on March 10th in Fort Dodge, Iowa. Our sympathies are also with Jason Limbaugh and his family, as they mourn the death of his father, Donald Limbaugh, who passed away on March 15th in Winchester, Tennessee. Services were held there on March 17th. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. God who seeks us, Christ who we can abide in. Often we find ourselves lost in the bustle of the world around us, desperately looking for you. We push, we shove, we climb just to catch a glimpse of what you're doing in the world. But you see us. You call out to us. You invite us into fellowship with you. Today, we pray for the people who are waiting, the people who find themselves in difficult places. We pray for the suffering. We pray for people struggling with employment and financial concerns. We pray for those who are estranged from ones they love. We pray for those who are trapped in the grip of addiction, for those navigating mental illness, and for people enduring emotional and spiritual turmoil. May they feel seen by you. May they abide with you. We pray for the needs of the world. We pray for peace where there is war and for justice where there is oppression. Guide world leaders as they navigate crucial decisions. Guide them towards what is good for all people. God, hear the things on our hearts that we fail to say. See the things in our lives that we try to hide, and heal the things that we believe are beyond repair. May we abide in you. And hear us as we pray together this prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give using the options in the chat or on the screen. And for those of you worshiping with us today in the sanctuary, you can leave your offering in the Narthex offering box as you leave today. Community, let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Had to do a camp meeting song this Sunday. I grew up singing that one. Hopefully that was familiar to some of you. We are drawn nearer every day to the love of God through Jesus Christ. May the journey of Lent bring you ever closer to that unconditional love, and may it flow through you out into this world that we too might be healers and bringers of peace. Amen.